This morning I would like to continue last week's sermon regarding the topic of faith and the life of Abraham by considering what faith does. What faith does. Last Lord's Day morning we defined faith from Romans chapter 4 verses 20 and 21. The account of Abraham, Romans chapter 4. And the Bible telling us that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And through that scripture and through the life of testimony, we established what faith was. We established it in 3 points. We noted that faith is believing that God is. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must first believe that God is. We mentioned that faith is only as good as its object. You can have faith in this piano, but that's not going to get you far in life. You can have saving faith in a false God that is no God at all, but that will not bring you salvation. It will not carry you from this life to the next. So faith is believing that God is, that he is the true and living God, that he is the creator, he is the sustainer of life, that God the Father is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God is the triune Godder, God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. So faith, what is it? It is believing that God is, that he is existent. But then we establish that faith is believing that God can. Faith is believing that God can do all that he said he would do. It's believing that God has the power to do what he had promised. And then faith is believing that God will. So faith is believing that God is. Faith is believing that God can. And faith is believing that God will. And we have the exemplary faith of Abraham. He believed that God was the true God. He believed that God had the power to do as he said he would do in the life of Abraham. And he stepped out in faith, casting himself fully upon God, and believed that God would provide a Messiah for him individually. As the Bible says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. This week in our home, we have been trying to instill these truths within the hearts and minds of our children. One evening I came home and I took the dirty dishes from the sink and I said, "Children, how about I go put this in the refrigerator and see if it cleanses itself?" And they looked at me strange and I said, "No, we need to have faith. And faith is believing that something is. Is this refrigerator a dishwasher?" "No," they laughed. "Well, how about over here? Could I put it in the dryer? Will it clean the dish?" "Well, no." So we need to understand that the dishwasher is the place where dishes are cleansed. So we first believe that this is a dishwasher. Then we believe that the dishwasher has the capability of washing dishes. And then we believe that if we put the dirty dish into the dishwasher, that it has the capability then to cleanse it. And we believe it when we actually put the plate into the dishwasher. So what is faith? Faith is believing that God is. Faith is believing that God can. And faith is believing that God will. Saving faith is this. The blind men approached the Lord Jesus Christ. And they cried out, "Lord, have mercy upon us." They approached Christ because they believed that he was God. That he was Jesus Christ. They approached Christ because they believed that Jesus had the power to heal them. And they continued to cry out even when men tried to silence them because they believed that God would. And Jesus said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." So this morning, we want to add a fourth point. Faith is waiting for God to do what he said. What is faith? Faith is believing God is. Faith is believing God can. Faith is believing God will. And faith is waiting for God to do what he said. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. And so, after he, that is Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After Abraham patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So let me simplify what faith does into three main points. Faith perseveres in believing God's promises. Faith perseveres in waiting on God's timing. And faith perseveres in laboring in God's work. So we begin with the first. Faith perseveres in believing God's promises. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Often we look at faith as a one and done act. Often in the realm of Christianity, we would ask, do you have faith? Well, yes, back in 1967, I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, might be your testimony. Do you have faith in God? Yes, there was a moment in time where I believed that God was. I believed that God could save my soul. I cast myself completely upon him, and he saved me, and that was my moment of faith. But when we look at the scriptures, we see that faith does not end at salvation. Faith begins at salvation. Faith, at the moment we turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, continues unto the day of death, yea, throughout all of eternity. And Paul tells the believers in Philippi that he who began a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed, to keep that from the moment I committed until that day. So faith is persevering in believing God's promises. It's almost as a pathway with stones that are staggered. You step upon one stone and you carry on to the next step. When you believe that that stone was capable of holding you up and not breaking and not causing your ankle to turn. And so what do you do again? You continue to go upon the stones. And from my neighbor's house to our house, we have such stones. And I think about that every time I go over to our neighbor's house. You put your foot on the stone and then the next stone and then the next stone. And that's the life of the Christian. You believe that God is, that he is able, you're saved, and then you continue in that believing. You expose yourself to the Word of God, you see what God has for life, and you continue to believe the promises of God. I gave the illustration of a parachute last Sunday morning. Suppose you were to jump out of a perfectly good airplane through a skydiving adventure. Now, what do you need to survive that skydiving adventure? Well, you need faith, don't you? Faith in what? Faith in a parachute. First, you need to believe that this parachute actually is a parachute and not a school backpack. You could be in big trouble if you put on what you think to be a parachute and it's a backpack filled with notebooks and pencils and crayons and all sorts of stuff. That's not going to help you get to the ground safely. So you need to believe that the parachute actually is a parachute. And then you need to believe that the parachute has the capability of gliding you down safely to the ground. And then it is when you put on the parachute and jump out of the plane, then you believe, now you are believing that the parachute will hold you up. But as you are falling fastly through the sky, why don't you take off the parachute? Why don't you just cut it off? Why don't you say, you know what? I survived the jump. I can take care of things now. Free fall. You don't do that because your faith is still resting on the parachute until your feet safely touch the ground, until your lips kiss your loved ones and you say, "I survived, hallelujah." And so it is in the Christian life. We cast ourselves on the Lord in saving faith, but the faith that saves is the faith that continues. We say it sometimes this way. Salvation is threefold. We are saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin. And one day we will be saved from the very presence of sin. Now we know salvation to be a moment in time where God converts the heart. We acknowledge that. Wherefore, those who are in Christ, they are new creatures. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But we do acknowledge at the same time that this faith that begins in Christ continues until it is with Christ. And so it is when believing the promises of God at salvation, we continue believing. Abraham patiently endured and he obtained the promise. So faith is looking to Christ. And it is looking to Christ through trials. It is looking to Christ though we may face persecutions. It is looking to Christ through doubts. And we are seeing this manifested in the life of Joseph during our Sunday school hour. What is faith? In Joseph's life, it's believing that God has a purpose. Through all these trials, through all these heartaches. And God, I cannot see His purposes now, but I know that He is at work. I know that He is with me. And when I am tried, I shall come forth as gold. Persevering in believing and keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So faith perseveres in believing God's promise. And second, faith perseveres in waiting on God's timing. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Do you know how long Abraham had to wait until he saw the promise of Isaac? Abraham was 75 years of age when he first received the promise of Isaac, the one through whom Israel would be established, the one through whom the Messiah would come. And Abraham did not see the promise fulfilled until 25 years later. Now we struggle going 2 minutes through the line of our favorite fast food place. We're encouraging the microwave to hurry up when we press 10 seconds. 25 years waiting on God to do as He said. What is faith? Faith is understanding we are not God and His timing is perfect. What is faith? Faith is persevering, continuing on, believing God and waiting for His perfect timing. Isaac in Genesis 25 tells us that Isaac asked God to open the womb of his barren wife, Rebekah. And Isaac entreated the Lord for 20 long years. Joseph, from the time Joseph spoke his dream to his brothers until he saw it fulfilled. You remember Genesis chapter 37, God gave Joseph a dream. And the dream was that he would be the leader and his brothers would bow down for him. And the brothers hated Joseph for his dream's sake. But this is what God gave. And Joseph did not see that fulfilled until 20 years later. Joseph had to patiently endure to obtain the promise. As we look at church history through the lives and testimonies of many missionaries, we see that this truth is established as well. William Carey, missionary to India, labored 7 long years without one convert in India. We read of John G. Patton to the cannibals. We read of Adoniram Judson and Hudson Taylor, when they arrived on their field and they did what God wanted them to do, standing on the promises of God, that God had called them and that God had commissioned them and that the gospel is the power of salvation, they continued to preach and preach and preach and preach. But they had to wait on God and His timing. What is faith? Faith perseveres in waiting on God's timing. But third, faith perseveres in laboring in God's work. You see, this faith that the Bible describes is not a passive faith. It is an active faith. When it says that Abraham patiently endured, it does not mean that Abraham sat on his hands. When it says that Abraham patiently endured and obtained the promise, it does not mean that he sat around twiddling his fingers just waiting on God to do as God had said. No, Abraham was given a work to do. And I don't mean to be trite about this, and I don't mean to be vulgar in this sense, but if you consider the passage, the promise was that he would have a son. And if he is to have a son, this means that Abraham and Sarah need to come together. So Abraham did not sit back and say, "Okay, God, you've given a promise. I'll just wait and I will hope that you miraculously provide a child with me keeping my distance from Sarah." No, means were imparted. And so when it comes to faith in our life, means must be practice. We must do what God has called us to do if we want to obtain the promise. And there's a beautiful illustration of this in Acts chapter 18. The Apostle Paul is ministering in Corinth, and Corinth is a wicked, perverse city. And the Bible says that Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Verse 6 says that they opposed themselves and blasphemed. And he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon you for your own heads, upon your own heads." And no doubt this affected Paul's spirit. No doubt this caused discouragement. And we read in verse 9 that the Lord appeared to Paul by night and said, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Paul, you've been opposed. Paul, they're speaking blasphemous words regarding your message. But don't be afraid. Continue speaking, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Paul, here are my promises. I'm with you. I will strengthen you. Paul, you continue on, and I will bless. In my timing, I will change hearts. You are to keep preaching. Don't sit back and just hope for a miracle, for something to happen apart from the preached word. No, you keep laboring and I will do what I said I will do when I decide to do it. Look at the next verse. And he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. What does faith do? Faith perseveres in laboring for the Lord. So Paul went back to those who were opposing. Paul went back to this wicked city and continued preaching, believing that what God said, he was able to perform. And we know through the books of 1 and 2 Corinthians that a church was established through the faithful perseverance of the Apostle Paul. So what is faith? Faith is believing God is. Faith is believing God can. Faith is believing God will. But what does faith do? Faith perseveres in believing God's promises. Faith perseveres in waiting on God's timing. And faith perseveres in laboring in God's work. Now let's apply these truths to specific areas of our lives. We can know all these things here, but we need to seek to take the truth and, if you will, put it in the blender so it comes out in bite-sized pieces. What do these truths mean to us? How do they apply in our life? Well, these apply first in our spiritual growth. There are times that we seek to put our hands to the plow and rending our own hearts and seeking first the kingdom of God, and we find ourselves failing. There are times in which we are diligent in reading the Word of God. We are diligent in pursuing God in prayer. We are diligent in faithfully attending services and hearing the word of truth. We are diligent in fighting sin, yet we see little progress in our walk with the Lord. And there are times that we do not feel like fighting sin. There are times that we do not feel like doing what God wants us to do. There are times when the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And what one thing is needed as we seek to journey on the pathway to the celestial city? We need to patiently endure. Patiently endure. You ever seen an athlete do some marvelous feat in an athletic game? Do you ever see a bodybuilder, strong and powerful? We need to remember as we look at athletes that such things don't come overnight. As physical health does not come with one pop of a pill, so spiritual health does not come with one reading of the Bible. Spiritual health does not come with one attendance of a church service. Spiritual health does not come with one prayer lifted up to God. Spiritual health comes by faithfully persevering in holding fast to the promises of God. And in the Bible, believers are called soldiers. And you think of this illustration, a soldier on the battlefield. Soldiers who patiently endure in approaching their enemy. And in the battle, there will be times of great weakness and weariness. There will be times that the soldier is overcome by worry and fear. And there will be times that perhaps the soldier may be wounded. And so in the heavenly realm, there will be times that the Christian soldier is weary and defeated. There will be times where he is fearful and afraid, where the fiery darts of the wicked one come and come fast. But the Bible says in such times we must faithfully endure. We must faithfully run the race with patience. And when we fall, the Bible says the just man falls 7 times, but he gets up again. In a boxing match, the opponent may be knocked down, but he gets up again. He may be knocked down again, but he gets up again. He knocked down again and keeps fighting. And so what is faith in regards to our Christian life? Specifically in the realm of spiritual growth, we must continue to patiently endure. We must do that which God has commanded us to do in the small things. We teach the children, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. That applies to us. Forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. That applies to us. Patiently enduring, fighting temptation, losing a battle but winning the war, patiently enduring, striving for holiness, saying no to the world, saying yes to Christ, patiently enduring. And by God's grace, if we patiently endure in the realm of our spiritual growth, we will look back and say, look what God has done. Patiently enduring. This also applies to our evangelistic efforts. To those faithful fisher of men here this morning, witnessing to family members, witnessing to co-workers, witnessing to neighbors, witnessing to those in the restaurants that you frequent, you must patiently endure in spreading the message of the gospel. And we are called fishers of men. And do you know what fishing requires? Patience and endurance, especially if you fish Big Bear Lake. Patience gather the poles, untangle the lines, get the license, buy the bait, put the bait on the hook, throw the bait in the water, reel the line back in, cast it back out, no fish, keep casting, change the bait, keep casting, keep waiting, keep trolling, it rains, keep enduring, patiently enduring. Do you know what a farmer does? He endures, and he must endure patiently. What does a farmer do? He plows. He plows. He sweats. He plants. He waters. And then what must he do? Wait. The farmer has no power in and of himself to speak the word to a seed and say, "Seed, come to life." God must give the life. And so it is in our soul winning efforts and seeing people come to Christ. We can plow, we can warn, we can rebuke, exhort. We can tell men the message of the gospel, but we cannot change the hearts of men. We cannot produce convictions. We cannot give life. We cannot birth people into the kingdom of God. What is our command from God in regards to preaching the gospel to the lost world? It is to patiently endure. And there will be seasons, sometimes long seasons, of little or no results, but we must patiently endure to see the promise. What would India be like today if William Carey would have thrown in the towel and quit in year one, or year two, or year three, or year four, or year five, or year six, or year seven? Here he is. He's called the father of modern missions. If he did not patiently endure, he would not have such title, and the heathen would continue in their ways. Where would Corinth be if Paul gave up in Acts chapter 18? Where would we be, Christian? Think about this. Where would we be today if faithful believers did not work on our lives? If churches closed their doors? If people didn't pray for us, we must persevere in believing in the promises of God that He will save. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That is a promise from Christ alone. It cannot fail. And so when we continue in this work of evangelism and we start to wonder, nobody is responding. Is Christ keeping His word? Will He keep His word? The world is getting worse and worse and worse. Will God accomplish His purposes? Yes. Faith is persevering and believing the promises of God. Persevering and waiting on the promises, or waiting on God's timing. And persevering and laboring in God's work. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And then we also apply this to our teaching efforts. Sunday school teachers, listen. King's Kids workers, listen. Parents, listen. Our faithfulness in imparting spiritual truths to others. We sometimes have opportunity to disciple a new convert, to warn a backsliding Christian, to impart truth in some way. And in that imparting of truth, sometimes we wonder if those that we are giving our time to are gleaning anything at all that we are saying. No amens from the King's Kids workers, huh? You have perfect little angels in your class who shake their head and remember. What is required in teaching the truth? Parents to your children. We need to talk to the parents of teenagers here, or young ones. Homeschool, moms, full-time moms at home. What does it require to change the diapers and to clean up messes from sickness? It takes patient endurance. If you want the greatest example of such endurance, just look at the Lord Jesus Christ as he was training his disciples. Were the disciples perfect angels who gleaned everything from Christ? No. Often Christ is rebuking them. "O ye of little faith, I told you, I must die. On the third day, I will rise again." And it was over their head, over their head, over their head. In one ear, out the other. But Christ patiently endured. And was it worth it? 12 men turned the world upside down. So teachers, parents, disciplers, don't underestimate what God can do through your influence. Don't forget that they are gleaning more than you may know. It's not in vain. The Bible says that your work and labor of love is not in vain. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that the work is not futile. So in our evangelistic efforts, in our spiritual growth, in our teaching efforts, we need to patiently endure so that we would obtain the promise. And then this also implies our prayers. Our prayers for God's blessing. Our prayers for the unity, purity, and growth of our church. Our prayers for the lost community to come to Christ. Our prayers for God to awaken our spiritually slumbered nation. For prayers for those who have strayed. And in our prayer life, we need to patiently endure. It's required of us to be like the man at midnight, going to his friend and continue knocking. Enduring until he gets the answer. And Christ said, "Come, ask, seek, knock, keep enduring till you receive the blessing." And I'm afraid far too often we grow discouraged in our prayer lives because we do not see immediate fruit from what we do. Abraham waited 25 years. Isaac entreated the Lord. He prayed for years. And the moment we stop believing in the promises of God is the moment we stop enduring. Remember Peter when he was walking on the Sea of Galilee approaching Jesus? Examine Peter's faith. He believed that Christ was. He did not believe it was a ghost or some spirit. Peter had faith that this was the Christ, this was the Savior. So believing, he stood up on the boat. He believed that Christ could give him the ability to walk on the water. So Peter stood from the boat, walked on the water. And he believed that Christ would give him the ability to approach him. And so he proceeds in stepping out in faith. He draws closer to Christ until his faith is swallowed up by his fear. And his faith is swallowed up by fear when he gets his eyes off of Christ and sets them upon the winds and the waves. And when we get our eyes off of Christ and his promises, we begin to sink spiritually. We will not obtain the promise if we get our eyes off of the promises. That's why Paul says we need to run the race in Philippians chapter 3. And in running the race, we do not look at the crowd. We do not look at the runners behind us. We run the race keeping our eyes focused and fixed upon the author and finisher of our faith. And this is what Paul experienced with many believers in Galatia. He experienced the Galatian believers ceasing from believing the promises and then ceasing in their endurance. Paul said, "Ye did run well. You were running the course. You were believing. Who did hinder you? You got your eyes off of the prize." And this is the sad testimony of those who used to be faithfully worshiping and serving with us. And they are not worshiping or serving among any body of believers today. What led to their present neglect? Well, they quit reading their Bibles. They quit praying. They became less frequent to the services. They quit being involved in laboring for the Lord. They quit waiting upon God. It was not so much that they started sputtering out atheistic lines, well, I don't believe in God anymore. It was their actions giving proof that they did not fully believe that God was able to do as He said. And so they quit enduring. But believers, we are not to quit. We are to patiently endure until the end. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ shall last. And notice what the text says. It does not say that Abraham perfectly endured. It said that Abraham patiently endured. Now, this may seem like a small detail, but it's an encouraging detail for us. Did Abraham have his faults and mistakes? Yeah. You remember, Abraham wanted to pursue his own will. I'll take Hagar. God's not giving His promise, so I need to take things into my own hands. And we know what a mess that led to. But even in that mess, Abraham realized his mistake. He was humbled, and he carried on. So Abraham didn't perfectly endure, he patiently endured. Abraham, even through all of his sins and mistakes, fearing man over God, going to the great leaders and saying, Sarah is my sister, she's not my wife, trying to preserve his own life. Through all these things, Abraham made his mistakes, but he was as a just man, falling and getting up again. Believing the promises, falling, believing them again, believing them again. He didn't perfectly endure, he patiently endured. And this is what we must be today. You said, don't let the devil tempt you to say, well, you've made your mistakes, you might as well just give up. You don't believe them as strongly as other Christians, so you should just throw in the towel. No, you be like Abraham. When your hands get off the plow, put them back on. When you get off the racetrack, get back on the racetrack. And this is what the writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and Abraham being among the greatest of witnesses, the father of faith, the one who we read of in Romans chapter 4 regarding what faith is, the one that we read of in Hebrews chapter 6 regarding what faith does, Abraham is among the great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. We need to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We need to run with patience. And that word is perseverance. We need to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, patiently enduring. He endured pain. He endured forsakings. And He did that for us. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And if Jesus patiently endured for your soul, you can patiently endure for Him. Christ came to this earth, perfect, sinless. He walked among sinful men. He came to His own received Him not. Christ came to fulfill the law. Never once did He sin. Christ came as a substitute. He came as a mediator between God and men. The Lord Jesus Christ, God clothed in flesh, became sin for us. He bore the wrath of God on the cross. It was, yes, the Romans that crucified Him, but Isaiah chapter 53 tells us that it was God who was pleased to crush Christ. God was pleased to crush His Son for us so that we might know eternal salvation. Christ shed His blood. Christ died. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And because of His patient endurance, we have life. And if we want to know life and life more abundantly, and if we want to impart the gospel life to others, we too must patiently endure. So may God give us grace. Let's pray.